Welcome to Critical Drinking. I'm Kevin Regan.
I'm Ryan Maley.
And this is a podcast where we drink beer, we watch movies, and we talk about them. This week...
I'm excited.
We are watching Hot Tub Time Machine.
I've never seen it.
Ryan's never seen it. I've seen it about four times already. It is my new Dumb and Dumber.
Yes, as you said.
Where it's just... It's too good. The lines all... Every... Well, I'll talk about it later. But we're watching Hot Tub Time Machine and then going over our top five... time travel movies.
As brought to us by Maddie C.
That's right. A good idea last night. We have some rules about the time travel. First, it has to be actual, like, technically traveling through time.
Yes.
It can't just be...
reliving things.
Yeah, exactly. No flashbacks, no, like, you're frozen.
Yeah.
And then you get, you know, unfrozen, like,
yeah.
You know, like, maybe Futurama
or like
style.
Memento. Or
yeah,
it goes,
exactly. It's not manipulating time, it's actually traveling through time.
Yes.
So,
in
via
the future
some sort of
or
time
in the past... Or in an alternate universe.
That's right. Some sort of time...
Forward, backward, or sideways.
Some sort of time travel.
That's the truth.
But
I'm sticking to it.
That's right. We have no feedback this week. No one... Apparently, everyone unanimously thought that John McClane was the winner of the Expendables poll. Check the website, though, because there's a great link. It's a little late for what we did, but it's basically... the Facebook page... it has a link to a picture that shows the death count of every expendable actor, all of their characters.
Except Arnold.
Yeah, true, except Arnold. It has all of their characters' death counts and, like, each individual movie what their death count was. Like,
yeah, their body count.
Yeah, but, yeah. Can't imagine what who did that and how long it took, but it's
but
pretty...
The surprising pretty winner was Dolph He-Man Lundgren.
Seriously.
With 600...
Yeah, 632 or something like that.
Yeah, 631 or something like that. And only one in Rambo 4, which is why...
Rocky 4.
Rocky. He's even in Rambo 4. I don't know her.
Yeah, but it's
a... for the Bangkoks. Or the Burn... Yeah, Bangkoks.
But yeah, it's pretty fun to check out, so head over there. Our poll this week was not very...
It's more of a personal...
Yeah, it wasn't very voted on. There were only four votes, and I imagine three of them were us.
And the other one was me telling Brian to vote when I was sitting right here next to him.
So it's pretty much, we don't need to worry about it.
We're at the Feely Manor today.
Yeah, we're on location. But
you turn this off, good.
Yeah, but the poll was 25% Boogie Nights, 75% Love Actually, but that just means...
Boogie Nights.
Yeah, that just means Matt voted for Boogie Nights, and we voted for Love Actually, so... Really doesn't mean anything.
The only redeeming quality that Boogie Nights has is John C. Reilly doing magic.
That is true. It's a great... There's actually on the Facebook page also, Matt posted a video where they show them side by side, like with both of the sound on, to just see like the differences and how they both use them. It's actually a really good mashup. So kudos to Matt on that one. But this week...
I ate granola bars as a kid, not kudos. So take that, Matt. Actually, I did have kudos.
Yeah.
Chocolate peanut butter. It was good. They seemed so big when I was little. See them now, they look so small.
I think
just like
shrunk.
Something else I have.
I think they're shrunk. You were
it was so big when I was little, but now...
You matured just, early?
awesome. I was a shower.
Awesome.
I'm a grower. No, just kidding.
yeah, but this week, our poll, I guess, will be more, you know, I don't
Holy?
Know. Generic or open
we'll think,
to everyone.
We'll think of something.
But go vote on it, for God's sake. CriticalDrinkingPodcast.blogspot.com. Go to it. Vote on it.
Do it.
Smell it.
Dealt it.
But I guess let's get right into predictions for what we think we're going to watch or what we think we're going to drink while watching Hot Tub Time Machine.
Well, I had one.
Yeah.
This is my second one.
That one doesn't count.
I know. But I was just.
Oh,
I was just...
God, that burp really smells.
Does it smell like Taco Bell?
Oh, my God, it smells like Slim Jims.
I wish I had some Slim, like the Keith Stone one.
Oh, yeah!
The long Keith Stone.
Yeah, that's true.
He can hang up with it.
And dial. And dial.
Including this one, I'll say 4.
Okay. I'll go 5. And they're pounders. And they're Keystone Light pounders. And
jeez.
I'm going 5. Because this is 1. And I'm almost...
Oh.
Almost done with it. Yeah, I'm going to go 5. We've never undershot.
Well, I'm still sticking with 4.
Yeah, that's fine. You can do whatever.
That smells too.
Does
it? I haven't even smelled it.
That burp?
No. Oh. I don't know.
But yeah, so 4 from Ryan, who's not going anywhere tomorrow morning, and 5 from me, who is getting up early to go to the airport tomorrow. But
well, you know what? Maybe I'll do 20. Who knows?
Maybe you'll overshoot.
I'll undershoot that dime.
That's true. But
undershoot all over your face.
We're going to go watch Hot Tub Time Machine, which I have seen. Ryan has not seen, so I'm pretty excited about it. But we'll see you in, I don't know, what, 20 seconds?
Yeah. All right. Suckers.
Bye. Critical Drinking.
Some sort of Hot Tub Time Machine.
That's right. We watched Hot Tub Time Machine. And
HTTM.
That's right.
Well, I've never seen it.
That's true.
It was very, very funny. I enjoyed it immensely. And the parts that I laughed hard at, I expect to laugh harder at next time. And
before you get into it.
Well, yeah. Well, I was just saying from the prognosis.
From the prognosis. Negative. Give us your results.
4, got 4, results. End.
5, I predicted 5, got 5, end. All right.
Sweet. There we go, guys.
All right, so let's jump into the review. Yeah.
Very nice.
It was pretty nice. So let's get into the review. I have partially given my review already, but, you know, I'll go first since you haven't seen it. First of all, this movie is becoming, I think it pretty much is right now, the new Dumb and Dumber for me. Dumb and Dumber, for those who maybe didn't listen to that episode, is the movie, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. I can watch it, like, literally, I could probably watch it back to back to back to back to back all day and still be entertained.
I did that once with Milo and Otis.
Did you? That's a great movie.
My cousin really loved it.
It's kind of sad,
was
actually.
Like 4 or 5.
It's kind of a sad movie, too.
Yeah, but it was taped, too, so it had to be rewound every time.
Oh, so you got that 2 minutes of...
That little pug had, like, the English accent.
Yeah. Marlo.
Yeah. Marlo, Marlo, what are you doing, Marlo?
That's right.
Oh, that little cat.
Yeah,
Marlo. Oh, just what am I doing? I don't even know if he was... I don't know what he was. Like,
cat.
How'd they do that?
It's a little orange cat.
Like, how long did filming for that movie take?
Seriously. I was taking a lot of tapes.
You know what? I really,
and a lot of almost drowning animals.
Yeah, I really like Hot Tub Time Machine, but I think we should dedicate the next hour to Milo and Otis and Homeward Bound. Because Homeward Bound had to take a long time also.
False. I mean, well, it did, but we're not dedicating that next hour to
Shadow, Chance, and Sassy. Sassy!
Sassy was...
Sally Fields.
Yeah.
Chance was Michael J. Fox.
Right.
And Shadow was an old guy that our parents knew.
Right. Yep. Good call.
And Bill.
Good call.
Don't fuck with us, Pullman. We will not go quietly into the night.
We will not go quietly into the night.
And was Helen Hunt. Was Helen Hunt the mom?
I don't know. It doesn't matter who the
people
are. And
the scene where
the animals. The animals are the ones.
Yeah,
matter.
And then they sing the Witch Doctor song. Ooh ee, ooh ah ah, ting tang, wah wah bang bang. Ooh ee, ooh ah ah, ting tang, wah wah bang bang. But then they thought they were getting their pets, but the pets wanted to escape to get to them, and it was so sad because they were really so close.
Dude, they ran so far, though.
I know. Those animals it was an incredible so journey. That's why it was called Homeward Bound. Colon, incredible journey.
That's right.
The incredible journey.
Yep, that's true.
All right, back to your review. I'm sorry.
No problem. But yeah, this is my Dumb and Dumber.
They invaded a cougar. They did.
Sassy.
All right. Oh, on the part where Shadow can't get up the mud thing, and then you think he's
Chance,
dead.
Help me.
Help me.
I'm so old. Oh. Help me. Yeah, he's tearing up right now just thinking about it. It's sad. Brings Ryan back to his childhood as a dog and trying to get back to his master. It's sad, isn't it? I know.
I feel so bad for Chet.
Sorry to bring up those memories of you as a dog.
Chet Breswell.
Great name. Should be a character in your next film with Philip Seymour Hoffman. About churros.
About churros.
All right. Anyways, this is basically the new Dumb and Dumber. It's the movie I will choose to watch whenever it's, you know, whenever I'm like, hey, I kind of want to laugh, but I don't really need to pay attention because I know all the lines. Hot Tub Time Machine. To kind of analyze this movie or break it down a little bit, first of all, it's kind of a ridiculous premise, and it knows it is because its name is Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yes, it's
in like the snakes on a plane vein. The snakes on a plane vein where it's like, you know what? What's this movie about? That movie was about
Except
snakes on a plane.
Seven times better.
Yeah.
But there's no line in this that is good as "Get off my dick."
Yeah.
When there's the snakes.
I guess I won't say that. I was gonna say no one bites a dude's dick, but that might not be true. But yeah, it's. So, you know, the whole premise of movies like that, you know, they start in the first 15 minutes and you kind of just snowball off of that. And the whole idea of
this
a guy...
This one takes place at a snow place,
yeah,
so they literally snowball.
Yeah. yeah. So, the whole premise of, you know, a guy's trip, as a guy, I can immediately relate to that, immediately just buy into that.
We already just made plans to get the guys together
and go
to Sun River.
Yeah, that's right.
But I hate skiing and snowboarding, so...
We're gonna make sure we have a hot tub at the place.
Yeah, I'm gonna make sure that I have Jameson's.
Mm-hmm. So, but you
and
know,
cable TV. Sun River's like in the Stone Age.
That's true. But it's got a bike path, so you could take a bike there.
Yeah, the longest bike path ever. I once walked on that bike path. I went there a couple years ago, and then I woke up at 5 a.m. 5 a.m. to get some pictures. Because, you know, dawn and dusk are the best time to get pictures.
Right.
And so I was going, out to the golf course because no one... Because the holes close to us were like 9 and 10, 11.
Yeah.
At, you know, 5:30 a.m. No one's going to be at 9, 10, or 11
right.
by then. So I go, and I brought the wrong lens, so that fucked it up.
Jeez.
But
Idiot.
It was like, every time I cross this one street, like, I got a hit on my head.
Yeah?
And good thing I was wearing a stocking cap, because I looked above, and there's just like it looked like a wool and a hole in it. It's a freaking hornet's nest.
Nice.
And every time I got in their vicinity, like two or three of them would just come right at me.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think they weren't, you know, what is it, hornets like bite or something? Like, I don't know. They weren't, I didn't ever get stung, but.
Yeah, hit in the head.
Yeah, I looked at it once and there were troops sent at me and I went by it. Well,
nice.
And I forgot my tripod, so I had to go back.
Naturally.
Actually, I forgot my tripod cover.
Naturally. Also, naturally.
All right, so anyway, I got a vacation planned. All right.
It's a good story. Anyways, yeah.
Especially the New Orleans Hornets.
So it's easy for a guy to buy into this movie because it's something that's like, oh my God, that'd be so much fun. Like, let's do that. Next, Rob Corddry just kills it in this movie. Rob Corddry is the funniest I've ever seen him. The second funniest... You know, other than the Daily Show, where he basically got a start, he's been funniest in Blades of Glory, when he's, you know, the manager of the skate show that Chaz Michael sinks to. He's like, Michaels, are you drunk? He's like, nope. And he smashes a bottle of Captain Morgan's in half. He's like, but this ought to do it. he's funniest in that movie. He really hasn't had much... much chance to do anything else.
I have a similar first note. Rob Corddry.
Yep.
is awesome in this, and it's a takeoff, and funnier, but takeoff of his actual second funniest.
Right.
Harold Kumar 2, Escape from Guantanamo Bay. Including where he got his chops for the beginning scene where he's playing the drums. The scene where he's in the prisoner's plane and starts doing, listening to Danger Zone. All of a sudden, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
Until he's floating through the air. He's going to his ultimate demise. And while he's floating in there, he's shooting his gun going, fuck you, fucker! He's shooting at him.
That's right, that's right. But he totally kills it. Like, he owns this movie from start to finish almost.
Well, and yeah, and he does it in, he does it in actual, I mean, there's different ways of fighting, but he does it in non, like, being an idiot humor, which is, like, his main, like, a lot of Daily Shows.
He plays the character, and he gets the
humor.
But, I mean,
he's actually being, you know, he's actually a real character. He's not being, like, yeah, you guys are stupid, you and your Harvard educations, you know, like, you know, ironic, you're, like.
The humor will hold up, you know, to anyone.
It's not, it's not.
Yeah. Agreed. I also
standard shtick.
Right. On the same kind of line, nobody can deliver a line like Craig Robinson can.
Yeah.
And I just want to, like, the "you cried and peed" line is the definitive example of that.
Sorry.
Where there's just nobody who could have delivered that line. Where he's like, you know, oh yeah. They're talking about how you know, Rob Corddry was getting his ass kicked. He's like, oh dude, yeah, and he's like, yeah, you were scared. You cried and peed. Just the way he said it, with like the straight Craig Ferguson face and the, you know, the little
Craig Robinson, not Craig Ferguson. Face.
No, Craig Ferguson is not funny. Craig Robinson. I'm sorry. Craig Robinson. But it's he's pretty hilarious. Lastly, a little thing is the Enrique ending.
Yeah,
the
that
part
was awesome.
The Enrique part at the end is
the
hilarious.
Hero.
Yeah, and then this is one of the, and this kind of leads into our top five, but this is one of the few movies that I think really exploits time travel. Like, it realizes that it's all about time travel, and it exploits that to where, you know, spoiler, Rob Corddry's character stays behind at the end and just exploits the hell out of time travel. And it's like, you've always kind of wanted to see a movie where, you know, you go back in time, and then you're like, I can do whatever I want because I know the future.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you take
besides
advantage
Back
of
Back to the Future, too, when he has a sports almanac.
Yeah.
Which, no, I was saying that this is better than that.
Yeah. But this, I mean, like, it's pretty funny. And the end scene is all about that. It's pretty funny. So that's my review. So you who have never seen it, let's get your take on it.
I grew up cordy. I gave you a little bit. I thought it was funny. Good stuff. I really appreciate any Crispin Glover scenes because
that's right.
The anticipation of his arm getting mauled off was hilarious.
That was pretty good.
And Crispin Glover himself is freakishly hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
He's just funny.
Yeah.
What's this note say?
I don't know.
Nice one.
You tell me.
Nice, wonderful titties movies.
That's right.
I love them.
There were some good tits in this
movie.
There
were some good tits. You got some saggy big ones, but you know they look good in a bra. And then you got some perky, nice tan ones. And it looked nice. And I just want to say that Jessica or Jessie looked better in her tiger print. I liked her tiger print little...
Jessie was a friend.
I'm going to go that note right now.
Friend of mine.
That was my last note.
Yeah.
No, my second to last note.
Oh, sorry.
Is that it's really a shame that out of all the songs that he could have brought back from the future, they decided to bring a Black Eyed Peas song.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's so true.
Let's get it started. That's what I want to bring back from the next 25 years. That was...
It was bad.
It was cool. Yeah.
You
could
have brought Enrique back.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, if they could listen to the soundtrack.
Think about it. Think about it.
Oh, so my other note wasn't related to titties. But I don't know his name. What's his name? Jacob in this?
Yeah, yeah.
Short
young
Courtney
guy? Yeah.
Well, he's on Greek, and I love that show. And his name's Dale on Greek, and I love Dale. That's what I gotta say. He's awesome in this.
Yeah.
He just plays the same person.
Yep.
He was in 21. Was he in 20? No, he wasn't in 21. No. That was the guy that looks just like Jonah Hill.
True.
That's in, some other movie. What the hell else is he in?
I don't know. We can look that up later.
Yeah, I don't know. We can look that up now. Yeah. Ooh, I hate the bad guy.
Who's, oh, yeah.
He's on Gossip Girl, yeah, and he's a bad guy also.
I thought you meant that. Like in the movie, not
well,
just
I don't
the
like
dude.
Him in the movie either. It's kind of fun. I like the whole revolution thing. Like,
yeah.
And then his friend, the obviously gay friend, that wears the double polos.
Yep.
Call her up. That guy's going to make it
guy's
in life.
Tight. The gay guy.
I want to wrestle you so freaking bad.
We had to bring it back, and we
That's
did.
Right, we did.
Nailed my it. My last point before saying that it's a hilarious movie.
Which you've already said. Also, by the way...
is I want to know what the budget of this movie was. What do you think it was?
70.
70 mil?
Yeah.
Could have been like 55 if they didn't have the gratuitous hot tub shooting up scene
yeah.
at the end. Like,
yeah,
like,
right.
Wait a minute. I mean, I wonder if they asked for 70 and they were like, eh, we still got 15 mil. Because yeah. it could have just... because, like, they pop out, you know.
Yeah.
Because that's how they got there, was, right. like, a spinning scene, but
yeah.
it was all live action.
Yeah.
They could have done that again, and then all of a sudden it's like, whoa, shooting up, and it was fun. I mean, I'm
yeah.
not criticizing it, but I was just looking at it, I was like...
it was too overdone for
yeah.
this movie.
I was like...
you didn't need that, because
yeah.
the first part, like...
it's an extra $10 million you just spent right there for something that no one in the audience cared
right.
about.
The way they get there... is hilarious because it's just this ridiculous night and
including
they're just like
a bear mascot.
Yeah, you just see this spinning around and you see like the random characters, like you get the president's masks and then you get like a Michael Jackson shot in there.
Yeah.
You get Chevy Chase thrown in there. You don't even know who Chevy Chase is yet and you get him thrown in there and all this stuff and then the bear falls, you know. That's hilarious. And it, you know, all that stuff, it reminds me of the and you saw this last week, I think, the other guys. It reminds
yeah.
me of that party scene. Where, like,
yeah, what the hell was that?
That was pretty unique.
It
scene.
Was unique.
It was it underwhelmed, but it was awesome to look at.
Yeah, it was awesome to look at.
But
it was also
the scene,
really random.
Yeah, but the scene where they get, you know, kind of spun around is kind of like, it's like a whirlwind of, like, oh my god, they're so wasted, and then they wake up.
Yeah.
And you don't realize that back in time yet.
You're comparing that. Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of
comparing
those.
The end scene to it.
Mm-hmm.
You could also do that with it being out of place, but yes.
Yeah. But no, that...
but also, I like the other guy's random scene better than this random scene.
Yeah.
The end random
the
scene.
The end where
the water
shoots up.
But I like the beginning
random
scene.
Right. Yeah, me too. What else you got?
This was funny. It did not disappoint. I enjoyed it.
All right. Let's give ratings. I'm going to let you go first.
I'm gonna give it 7.5. I mean, oh, it's refreshing. It's a straight up comedy. It's just, I mean, it starts out with a BMW poopy keys on somebody.
That's right. On,
you know, and like
Lieutenant Dangle from
from
Reno 911, yeah.
And the boyfriend or the gay guy and I Love You Man.
Right, yeah.
They're excellent. I wouldn't expect anything less from you. It was nice meeting Sydney, but if you guys don't end up working out, you can Facebook me.
Yeah, that's right. I just watched that last week. If you remember my what we watched, what you do?
Well, I watched last night. I watched.
Wait, you can't get into that.
No.
It's
I'm just saying. I just watched. I just. Seen parts of this, I watched portions of Funny Guys.
Okay.
And like,
what's Funny Guys?
Or funny people.
Yeah, Funny People.
The other
I didn't
Funny
like
Guys.
That at all.
It's a combo. I don't like it. I didn't like it one bit whatsoever. It was
good.
It was gratuitous. It was stupid. It was. It looked like Judd Apatow jacking off on a screen. And like, I really like other Apatow movies, but they're all. I mean, this is like the anti-Apatow, and that's just,
yeah.
It's straight up, it has some gross points, but it's not gross out comedy.
Right.
And, you know, it's just funny, and it's not thinking, you know, it's not thinking funny, but it's not like, and I love Happy Gilmore, so it's not like physical.
Right, humor, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, this is good, this is like, I mean, I'd almost put it, I mean, it's a not equivalent, but I mean, equivalent comedy as like an Animal House or something like that. It's just, yeah. It's straight up funny. Anyone that watches it's going to think it's funny. It doesn't involve thinking. Yeah.
Hot Tub Time Machine?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Because I was just going to say, funny people is disrespectful to people who think it's going to be a comedy, because it's not a good comedy. Adam Sandler as a comedian on his way out, and you're supposed to care about him, is just a tragedy, because I don't think Adam Sandler pulls it off in that. And I didn't like him the whole movie, and whole point was you were supposed to like him so that you could buy into the redeem.
Because, yeah, you're supposed to like him because they do slow-mo scenes of him playing basketball, and he fucks some other guy's wife. Why is that lovable?
Yeah, it's actually, I thought Funny People is one of the most underwhelming. If we would have done this podcast last year, mm-hmm. in 2009, if we wouldn't have started it in January, if we would have started in December, and our first episode was most underwhelming movies, or most, I guess the biggest letdowns of
mine 2009. Would have been Alien vs. Predator.
Funny People would have been
the coolest scene was just a flashback.
Hey man, they gotta go with their what they like. I don't know. I haven't seen Predators yet. I still want to see Predators.
I do too.
But anyways, you give it a 7.5, right? Hot Tub Time Machine, 7.5.
Correct. I hate Seth Rogen's character in it, but I give it 7.5.
No. Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah, I know, 7.5. Funny guys, I hate Seth Rogen's character.
Okay.
The guy hugs him. He's like, "Is it true? Is it true you're gonna live? Oh my god!" Mm-hmm. All right,
7.5 for you.
It's an abomination that Jason Schwartzman's even mentioned with that movie.
That's true. I give Hot Tub Time Machine an 8, and then the unrated version. The unrated version gets the booby bump to a 9.
Yeah.
And honestly,
it's
Dumb and Dumber still my fave, but I'm telling you, this is creeping on it. It's creeping on its heels.
Well, I'd like to amend mine to an 8. I mean, okay. I'm just saying, because I didn't think, because you know, you're kind of prickly with your ratings when you get up towards 8.5 to 9 area.
I have favoritism definitely.
Yeah, you know, so I was like, well, you know, I don't want to give this an 8. And he'll be like, well, I give it a 10 on a comedy scale and a 6.5 on the overall scale. So I was like, I gave it calculate 7.5. Now that I see you going Guts and Glory, I'm going to go ahead and give it an 8.
There you go. An 8 and a 9. So obviously we recommend this movie.
Movie bump. Were those in the theatrical trailer?
I think, not the trailer, but the theatrical version, I think they were.
Well, movie bump.
I think at least the... I think at least the one with Craig Robinson in the hot tub.
The big, giant, floppy tits.
She's like, "Are you crying?" He's like, "No, baby, it's just water splashing in my face from all the fucking." That was definitely in there. And then I think there were some extended scenes with the lady who pulled Rob Corddry and the kid in. I think there was some extended booby scenes in there. But
she had nice perky tan tits, but she also had a nice butt.
That's true. All right, so we're all about an 8 and a 9. So now we're going to jump into what we watched. I'm going to go first because I only watched 2 movies.
I kind of did.
Yeah. I watched, and this is something I want to talk to you about because I know you have some opinions on this. Number one, I saw Punch Drunk Love
For the first time. That must have been disappointing realizing that. Well, I meant not just that in general, but then. That probably the first decent serious role you saw was Adam Sandler playing in Funny People.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess it would be
happy. Yeah, It didn't help that I had seen Funny People, because I already didn't like Adam Sandler as a dramatic role. But I thought he was actually very good in this. It bothered me in like the first hour, the music or the score or whatever you want to call it.
John Briome.
Makes me, and this might have been intended, but it made me very anxious and made me very, like, unsettled, almost. Because it, like, especially the part where she comes into his office and is like, you know, with his sister, Chloe from 24, who sucks.
Gosh, she's a fucking whore.
Me too. But they come into the office, and he's like, you know, kind of flustered, but keeping his cool. And then they're outside driving the forklift into the wall.
Yeah.
that the music in that just got like it was very unsettling. It was very agitating, and I've never felt that in a movie before where I'm almost like I have to like stop watching this because I feel like I just need to get up and I don't know,
yeah, stop hit the something. Forklift.
Yeah, I have to get up and fucking hit something because I'm just agitated from this because you know it's hard to watch that character be that way and be so uncomfortable. It puts you in such an uncomfortable position with it.
Well, that's a good sign.
I agree. It works. It definitely works. I wouldn't say it's my favorite PTA movie by any means, but I appreciate it.
I think it's not a step forward. It's a step sideways from his other movies.
No,
it's
that's true. He's always been experimental in stuff that he does, and he's always kind of put his fingerprint on every movie that he does. And this was definitely the same way. I definitely liked the way they lit, like the subtle lighting cues in this movie. Were impressive, like
the blue suit for me is what
the blue suit's pretty awesome.
He wears a blue suit.
But I think that you know this movie isn't necessarily one that I'm gonna watch again and again. It was good to see, but it was just one of those movies that it was unsettling for me, and I was like, wow, my brain is going crazy because of this fucking music and what's going on the screen. I just want to, you know, react, which, you know, tribute to the movie. But, you know, it's not one that I'm going to enjoy watching.
It's not a movie you watch all the time.
Right.
I really, really like this movie. And I really do enjoy the score. I'm a big Jean Brion fan. But, you know, talking about that unsettlingness at the beginning, I mean, that's almost how the main character feels.
Right. No, I know.
It puts me
too much into that character where I feel awkward and I feel like I just need to...
I love how... Be like, oh, you should meet my friend. Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. Everything was different.
That's a very good character.
That sounds like a good idea. And then the bar's like, oh, no, they said I should talk to you because you're a doctor.
Right.
I'm a dentist. What are you talking about? Then when he just gets up
number
and kicks the window. He's like, oh, sorry. And leave.
It's good.
Emily Watson, I thought, was well cast in that when they do the making love scene. It's like, I just want to smash your face in with a sledgehammer.
That's right.
I want to bite your cheeks off and then chew them and spit them out back at you. It's a very, very unusual movie.
Offbeat. Yeah, definitely offbeat. The second movie I watched was Croupier, which I think you watched last week.
I didn't watch it. I started it.
Oh, okay. I started last week, too, and then
I told you it was on InstaQ.
Yeah, and I finished it this week, and it's not bad. It's
chip stacking sequence?
No. The chip stacking sequence is in the first, like, 10, 15 minutes, and the rest of the movie just kind of falls down from that. I would say that Croupier... Because this is one of the movies that I wanted to watch from our gambling, you know, top five gambling movies from last week. And this is one that was kind of, when I was doing my research, kind of came up on a few lists. And I was like, oh, I got to check that out. So I kind of Netflixed and saw what it was about. And it was actually on Instant, watch instantly. And so I was like, oh, okay. So I added it to the queue. And I meant to watch it before we did our Maverick, but I didn't. And then finally, I finished it. And it's really, I mean, you know, it's supposed to be like, you know, Clive Owen's Bond, you know, his Bond audition. And it's supposed to be like, you know, this good...
Good what?
Must be some kind of... Hot tub time machine.
That's good. Ryan just cracked his next beer. But yeah, I mean, it was... Croupier was kind of a two-dimension story for me.
It was fun.
It was kind of interesting to see because I loved the way that, like, he narrated the whole thing from his brain. And you saw what he thought, and then you saw what he said. And I thought that was
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
But the thing that I thought about it, and I only saw about 15 minutes of it because, I don't know, I had to take a shit or something like that. But it was very, I don't know if it continued like this, but from the beginning, it was very BBC like. It's kind of not the whole, but the shooting of it kind of.
No.
Yeah, it seemed like a.
Well, yeah, it was. I mean, it wasn't like. It was shot kind of like
low
a,
budget, but yeah, it was, wasn't like it was. Digital low budget. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep. It was low budget, not Tony Scott low budget.
Yeah.
So that's the second thing I watched. Ryan, what'd you watch?
Funny People.
Yeah, we already talked about that. That we sucked. Didn't like it.
I finished Matrix Reloaded, so the second time I've seen it.
That's half as bad as Revolutions is gonna be. Jeez. Don't watch Revolutions, because if you even half liked Reloaded, don't even worry about it.
I like... Look, the
Car Chase is good.
And I kind of wish I would have put it in my... After watching the longevity of it, it was mm-hmm. good. Overall, it was cool. I guess. I don't know.
That's
The middle... Whoa, I like...
Yeah, you chewed it.
The middle portion's good, but all of a sudden when they get past that and it's like... Oh, you meet the architect. Oh my gosh. All I think of is Scary Movie 2 or Scary Movie 3 yeah. when they meet George Carlin. It's like,
such a convoluted
I tried
scene.
I ordered what I thought was a copy of Pootie Tang. yeah. And I got the Ring video or whatever. And then the other guy's like, or the girl's like, oh, and it's been, you know, pillaging and killing ever since. And he just looks down and goes, just like Pootie Tang.
Yeah.
That's the greatest scene ever.
Yeah.
But I watched that one. It gets a 6. I don't know. I saw Inception. I saw Inception for the fourth time.
Any revelations from the fourth time? Or is it just kind of...
It gets... This is my Inception-like happiness scale. First time, it's awesome. But I want to know more. Second time, I'm looking for more. But you can't enjoy it as much.
Right.
Third and fourth time is that you kind of can combine those.
Yeah.
That the enjoyment of it and like...
Because you know what's coming and you know when to look for something.
And you don't have to think as hard. Like,
yeah.
This time I really enjoyed the hotel fight. I mean, I enjoyed it the first time, but just like the... You know, the spiraling room, and they
zero
did it,
gravity.
Yeah, and they did it. They really did it in a.
That's the impressive part.
Yeah,
is that they just spun the room, and then there is wire effects.
Yeah,
that's the impressive part.
Oh, I also saw Drag Me to Hell for like the fifth.
I haven't seen it still.
Gosh,
lend it to me.
Well, Yousef is in it. That's what
Yousef
from Inception isn't it?
Yousef. Yeah. Who's Yousef?
Okay. The potions guy that has the cool scene when the car rolls over. It's like, you guys see that? And they're all sleeping because, you know, it's Inception.
Must be some kind of hot tub time machine.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, that's me.
Last and not least was this little indie film I saw. I don't even remember seeing any kind of previous for it. It's called The Promotion.
I don't think I've heard of it.
With Sean William Scott, John C. Reilly, and Jenna Fisher from The
what?
Office. Yeah.
I want to see it already. Was it good?
It's very, very dry, and it's a workplace. It's about a supermarket, two supermarket employees, and then a new supermarket's opening up, and they're both applying for the manager's job. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
I hadn't either, and then I saw it, and, like, it was all right. I mean, it was just, I didn't know what to expect from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really dry office humor.
Drier than The Office?
It's, yeah, equivalent with not as talented people.
Oh,
even though John C. Reilly is awesome, as always.
Yeah.
And the wife is Lily...
Tomlin?
Not Lily Tomlin, I don't know where that High Fidelity chick, like the third one, the one with the
oh, that girl. I know who you're talking. I can see her face.
I think her name's Lily. Yeah, not Catherine Zeta-Jones. main person.
Not that black girl.
And not
but the
yeah, and not the smoking hot blonde that
was the one that got with Tim Robbins. Is that who it was?
No, that's the one that was like, oh fuck everyone, blah blah blah. It would.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, it was pretty. It had some funny parts. I just never even heard of this movie.
Yeah, me neither.
Stifler?
Yeah.
JCR? That's my name for him.
Yeah.
So that's probably
right. There you go. All right. So you got those movies we watched. You obviously get our takes on those, so watch the ones you want. Don't watch the ones you don't. Let us know if we're wrong on the Facebook or your website or whatever. But we're going to take a break, and then we're going to jump into our top five time travel movies.
Do it.
Welcome back to Critical Drinking.
Top five.
Top five time. Top five time travel movies.
I think there's a lot of movies that have been on this before on mine.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, those are... those sound like their Can't Touch This List candidates. Can't Touch This List candidates, if they've been on your list a lot.
No, I don't know.
Alright, why don't you go first?
Alright.
What's your top five time travel movie? What's your number five?
My number five is my number one Star Trek movie.
Ooh.
Star Trek 8, First Contact. That's what I gotta say, because I love this movie. If I didn't explain enough earlier, I love this movie. It involves time travel, and they go back to when they discover, going warp speed and stuff like that. Oh no, it's when they meet the Romulans. That's why it's called First Contact.
Yep, true.
Well, they also discover warp speed, and that's why the Romulans realize that this primitive race is worthy of our acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my number five, because the Next Generation crew is the best actors there are, and it just sucks they only got 1.5 good movies to act.
What do they use for time travel?
Semen.
Oh, it's semen. Ooh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My number five...
Romulans love semen.
That is true. My number five is Donnie Darko.
Good pick.
Wormholes. Wormholes. that's basically all you get from this movie regarding time travel. I got some questions. Is that engine that falls through the roof in the beginning from the future? Is Donnie Darko hallucinating the whole time, or dreaming, or what's going on?
He's Jesus.
How exactly does one suck a fuck? Who knows? But the answer is probably got something to do with wormholes, because that's what this movie's all about. It's a great cult classic.
He told me to take my lesson book, and he told me to take the card to shove it right up my anus. And the dad's reaction. The dad laughs.
Yeah.
I love that.
But it's a great cult classic. It's confusing as hell. It is fun to watch again and again. It holds up on repeat viewings. It's kind of fun. So that's my number five. My number four is the one we just watched, Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah, this is going to definitely be a contender on my next top time travel.
Yeah?
Yeah.
This is my new Dumb and Dumber, like I've said. It may not be great. You know, it may not even be good to a lot of you.
Well, how can anyone see this movie and not say it's good? I mean, it's...
Okay, true. But regardless of what anyone says, I love this movie. For me, every line of this movie lands. It just gets better when I rewatch it, because I kind of catch the subtle, you know, inflections, and I catch, you know, what is playing off of what, everything like that. And even though at the end it gets a little too plotty, I'll say.
Yeah.
It gets a little too plotty. I still think it's worth watching again and again and again, like I've done with Dumb and Dumber. That's my number four. Your number four.
Number four is something you'll never mention. Donnie Darko.
Ah. Should have been on my list.
I enjoy this movie. I really enjoyed the look of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It looks very... I don't know. I feel like it could last a while, you know, in the cinematography area. Overall, great characters, and This is maybe one of the most thinking movies. Like, talking about Inception, having to see it, like, 3 or 4 times, I kind of get the gist of Inception. Right. And I get the... I feel like I'm on the same page as Inception. I'm just not reading all the sentences.
Yeah. That's a good analogy.
But on Donnie Darko, I feel like I'm in the same chapter, and that's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a good analogy.
So, that's my number 4, is that time travel is a confusing concept, and it allows you to do some incredible things in filmmaking. I think this does a really, incredible things in plots, I mean. And, this movie does really well with that.
I agree.
So that's my number 4. My number 3, I'm sure you thought it would be my number 1.
Oh.
But it's not, because, to be honest,
what is
it's not even the best of the series. Army of Darkness.
But really, are 2 or 1 about time travel?
No, but it's not
so
the best.
So 3 is really the only one you can go for, right? Because Army of Darkness, he travels back in time from 2 to 3.
Yeah,
he travels back in time.
Yep.
Yeah. So okay,
that's awesome. He's in a whole other place.
It's a good pick.
It's the best.
It's not the best you put at your number 3.
Yeah, it's the best number 3 pick that's mine ever.
That's a good point. It's a great point. Best number 3 I've ever put at top 5 time travel movies.
He travels back to medieval ages and he makes fun of them. I love it. I love it because that's kind of, if you went, like, I'm not a giant schmuck, but I mean, if you go back to a time of simpler minds, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You'd say funny things like, you don't understand metals and alloys and that kind of stuff. Like, here to you. He makes gunpowder and apparently it evolves into a mechanical hand that I bet you every person that lost a hand wishes they had.
A boomstick!
Groovy. That's my 3. It was hard not to put my top 2, but it's my 3.
Hey, it happens.
Give me yours.
All right.
Fine, sir.
My number 3 is Star Trek of 2009.
Oh,
it's the most recent Star Trek.
It's good.
It just beat out First Contact because I just like this one better. That's the only reason.
Yeah.
Star Trek has to be mentioned on this list because
I grew up with Next Generation, and I think Patrick Stewart is like the god of acting. I love that guy.
He's pretty good. Have you seen the extras that he's in?
No.
But he
absolutely kills it on Frasier for his one episode.
Nice.
When he plays the gay director.
But yeah.
And Frasier is a really, really gay show. And it's funny that Kelsey Grammer is like kind of a Bible thumping Republican. Talk about all-time oxymoron conundrum shit.
Well, maybe later. First Contact. The Borgs are my favorite enemy of the Star Trek franchise, which, First Contact is all about.
They're everyone's favorite. Does anyone go, I enjoy the Klingons better than the Borg? No!
Well, the scenes with the Borg, whatever the Borg queen...
And Data. Yeah.
Those are great scenes, and that's
Alice Krug. She played her head.
It's what really contributed.
That wasn't her body, unless she's been working out.
That's right.
That's what
really contributed to this. But really, in Star Trek,
those aren't even time travel scenes.
In the most recent Star Trek, they actually travel through time. In First Contact, it's more of the hypothetical. Let's go back in time and prevent everything from ever happening.
Yeah, well, they travel back in time. I mean, they're in the past.
Right. But I'm just saying, my only reasoning is I like this one better.
Well, that makes sense.
This one has Nero doing whatever the hell he wants with space and time. It's basically all so he can just piss Spock off, because you get old Spock and new Spock. And Nero is just like, where's Spock? And we see two of them, and he can't find one of them. But the thing is, to piss off Spock, in this movie, Kirk basically beat him to it.
Yeah.
He pissed Spock off. He's like, you're no longer captain. And then Nero finally finds him. But, I mean, I think this is the best... Well, we've already gone over our Star Trek movies. But this one is the best time travel movie, in my opinion.
Star Trek.
This is an incredibly entertaining movie. Like, you could see it. You'd see it twice a day, every day, and probably still, you know, just go, and then, you know, look at the TV and go, oh, yeah, that's great. However, I think this movie might be approaching the Can't Touch This list.
It's getting closer.
I think it's getting close.
The only reason I disagree with it is that I have a problem. This totally contradicts with my number two. Is when you control time travel, because, like, if you're Nero, I know you gotta get to a certain place at a certain time, yeah. But... you constantly know where it is, and you can go back and, like, control time. It's like, then why not go back farther and stop it? Or no, why not? Why don't you just prevent Spock from getting born?
No, because he operates through portals and wormholes. Like, he's going through the same... Those can't... Inherently, those are, you know, aren't set. But Star Trek tries to make them set.
That's just the only thing that... And in general, and like I said, this plays totally away from my number two, but this times that when people control time travel compared to when they're put in time travel, like in First Contact, I'm just using it as that First Contact, right. They're in another time. They didn't control, you know, they can't go earlier or later, but that's just what that, give me your number two.
All right, my number two, speaking of the Can't Touch This list status. My number two is Terminator 2 Judgment Day.
I've never heard of that movie. Is it good?
That's weird. I thought it was pretty good. The Terminator franchise is all based around the T-800, Arnold, coming back from the future. He's a cyborg. He comes back from the future, and this time he's sent to save John Connor, who is the future leader of humanity.
Edward Furlong, who made one decent movie after that, American History.
American History, that's true. But, I mean, as much as this movie is premised on coming back from the future to save, you know, Edward Furlong from another dude from the future, it's really about kicking ass. Because that's what Terminator's all about.
Best part about that movie? John Connor's friend. Who is it?
It's Ben Foster, isn't it?
No.
It's not Ben Foster!
No, it's... I can't remember his name. Is it Butnick? From Salute Your Shorts!
Oh, no way! That's That's right! That's why I remember that blonde-haired douchebag looking
red-haired at red-haired douchebag.
Makes me want to fart. Wanna
hold you in our hearts. And when you think about me...
It makes me want to fart!
Yeah.
Live on a one-on-one, breathe on a one-on-one.
Talk about something that needs to be on DVD.
That's true.
This is for you.
Salute Your Shorts.
Nick.
Salute Your Shorts really does need to
be
on DVD.
Look at that. God,
that's spiked. You spiked it by hitting it with your pen. We've talked about Terminator 2. I feel like at least I have talked about it plenty on other lists. It's a great movie in many respects. One of those respects being time travel. The other one of those respects being kicking ass. That's my number two, Ryan, your number two.
I was going to try to keep this one a secret, but Mr. Google Hands over here already talked about it. Not today, but another day. It's my favorite in a series that has become...
sorry about that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I wish you had... If you had... How many movies are in this stupid thing?
Seven, I think, now.
Seven now?
Yep.
And the first two were on a pan.
They were Chris Columbus, by the book, literally by the book movies.
Yeah.
Say it. What is it?
Harry Potter 3, Prisoner of Azkaban.
Okay. Give your review.
This movie's excellent. It's the best one by far. It's directed by Alfonso Cuarón, people. The guy did Children of Men next. Like, oh, I just got done doing Harry Potter. I'm going to go do Children of Men, which is an awesome freaking movie. And time travel in this is very important, but it's very limited. Yep. Which also something Hermione uses her little, and I don't read the books, people. I'm a movie only person.
There you go.
But she's like, she uses it so she can go to two classes at the same time. But it's like,
yep.
And then they're like, oh, we can use this. We only have a limited amount of time to. No, you have a necklace that can take you back in time. You have all the time in the world. If something gets fucked up, use your necklace and go back.
That's right.
Go back to when Voldemort was born and stab him in the face.
That's right.
Like,
it's true.
The use of time travel in this may not be the best, but the quality of the movie is second best. That's why it's my number two.
Why do you think the Harry Potter movies are so good? Why do you think? Why are the Harry Potter movies so good? Because I have the opposite opinion as you do of the Harry Potter movies.
You like one and two and don't like three?
I guess I have half opposite because I don't like one and two, and I also don't think the rest are any good. I don't think they're that good. First of all, I have read the books, like, 1 through 4, maybe. And the first two...
I've never even read a sentence from
the books. The first two stuck by the book. Totally understandable why they didn't translate, you know, to moviegoers. 3 and 4, I was... You know, I think I've seen 3, 4, and 5.
You haven't seen the newest one?
No, I haven't seen the newest
one. What's the newest one? The Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah, haven't seen that. But I just don't like these movies. I think they're first of all, the actors aren't very good actors. Hermione's hot, but I don't think the actors, I can't get past, like, the fact that they're just being, you know, I haven't seen them in anything, but they're just kind of being fake. And then the whole movie to me is just like cookie cutter. You know, take a fantasy book and put it into a movie, and I don't think they're very good. So, please prove me wrong.
Well, I mean, what's cookie cutter about taking a story from a book and making a movie? I mean, they're following the books.
Well, that's cookie cutter, but what I'm saying is, I guess what I'm saying is, why, not having read the books, you haven't read the books.
No, I haven't.
What makes the movies great?
1 and 2 were very childish. I'm giving you an example
wasn't
of why I enjoyed this.
Wasn't he in those two?
I don't know.
He, whatever his name was.
He's aging at nearly the same age that Harry's
right.
aging.
Right, agreed.
Kind of. He's aging. No, he is. He's aging like a... I think he was behind at the beginning, caught
Daniel
up in the...
Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, caught up in the middle, and now he's aging a tad bit faster.
Yeah.
1 and 2 were very, very childish.
Yeah.
You know, almost directed at a majority of the people that read those books.
Right. Oh, it was... Because the criticism for those were that they were so by the book.
Yeah.
Like, the guy literally went with the book to create
right.
the screenplay. Like, that's... And I... Having read the books, it literally was by the book.
For me, I was not a Harry Potter person.
Right.
I never read. And then I saw the trailer for number 3.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very, very excellent. Very dark, the trailer. Gary Oldman kind of being crazy, which Gary Oldman never does. He's never crazy.
Right.
And then I finally saw it. It was dark. It was... somewhat demented, and I think that you maybe not believe in the acting of the younger people, but then you have far superior acting. The cast in this movie, when you get beyond the three main characters, is absolutely
good.
Superb.
It
I
is.
Mean, you have Alan Rickman,
yep.
Maggie Smith,
yep.
Dumbledore, whoever is playing,
yeah, whatever
the one of the two
yeah.
people that are
right.
playing him, and then always the revolving teacher that comes in. I mean,
right.
it was David Toles for a little bit. Now he's a continuing character.
Emma Thompson did it.
Emma Thompson,
crazy lady.
Yeah, the crazy.
She was.
And
that's
so,
true. They are great actors, but they're
that top
they're
man,
second
I find,
fiddle to the three shitty actors.
See, I don't think that. See, I don't think they're shit because
Emma Watson's good.
Well, I think they're all. I think they're all. I think they're gonna all be shitty actors, but I think it's all because they're gonna be typecasted. Just like Linda Blair was typecasted for The Exorcist, she couldn't get a job. Her biggest movie past, her biggest movie past The Exorcist was that fake, you know, like scary movie type movie that came out like, you know, 6 years later, where she literally played the Exorcist woman again on a parody, and that was her biggest thing. But I think they do a fine job.
And, I don't.
Well, I mean, I'm talking. And I'm talking about number three, number four, Goblet of Fire. I thought was fun. I thought it was pretty good, but I thought what three brought and that what five kind of brought. What five brought was that you could have seen five and never seen any of the first four movies,
agreed,
and you got a complete story, even though it was probably the most boring of all of them. And the one that you haven't seen six yet,
haven't seen that.
That combined with three is what they bring is this something that I think is really underrepresented in kind of long stories, especially ones that are going towards a darker darker hint, is this overall feeling of gloom and doom, like that no matter what's going on, that things are turning out shitty.
It came from the book, though.
Well, I know it came from the book, but I know, but I was just saying that it's not brought in some other movies, but it's brought in this.
Agree to disagree, because Harry Potter's just not my thing.
It's not. It's not my. I'm not sitting here. I'm not a huge giant Harry Potter.
But you
fan,
okay? So,
but
you
I
like
really
it,
think those
I don't
movies.
Like it.
Yeah,
you like it. I don't like it. So, agree to disagree on that fact. Because we've been talking about it.
How many books have you read?
Four. I think I've read the first four, and then I think I saw all four of those movies, and then I think I saw the fifth movie without reading the book. Didn't like it. Haven't seen six, and then isn't seven going to be a two-parter?
Yeah.
Yeah, so seven's good. So I plan on not seeing those also. But do you have a number one?
Yeah.
Because I believe your number one's up. Sorry about that for the Harry Potter
number
segment.
One is a middle finger towards you.
Oh, okay.
And
what's your number
one,
point .5? What's your 1A?
It has to be number one just because it's...
It's going to be mine too.
Yeah, it's the time-traveling movie.
Yep.
I don't know. It's not the best movie on my list, but it's the best time-traveling movie on my
agreed.
List. Back to the Future. It has
to
be.
That's... What?
Oh, I'm
that's
sorry.
The one you picked?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Yeah, no, it's true.
It has to be... It's awesome.
It is.
It's fun.
It is.
I love Christopher Lloyd.
Me too.
Michael J. Fox is...
Yep.
Michael J. Foxy. I there's nothing else to say. It's...
Nope.
It put time travel on a map. I know that the time machine from 1960 was supposed to be awesome, but it's Back to the Future. I mean, the name of it is confusing as fuck. Russell was like, Back to the Future. That doesn't make any sense.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this has got to be the movie that came to everyone's mind when
that
we said time travel.
Yeah.
When we said time travel movies, this has to be the one that came to your mind as number one. It's iconic for so many reasons. It's almost ingrained in like the fabric of society. Even without just thinking, what's the best time travel movie? Like 1986 or 85 or whenever this movie came out. It's like, this was one of the movies, and it still holds up, which is one of the most impressive things about it.
It really does.
Yeah, it's one of the most impressive things about it. A couple other impressive things. It proves that where we're going, we don't need roads. It proves that. And also, it introduces us to the still futuristic measure of electricity, the gigawatt.
Well, and it's one of those movies that the end is changed by, you know, the future.
Right.
And also... The where we're going, we don't need roads. It's awesome because it's a great last line for a movie, but it's almost ruined because Back to the Future was Back to the Future 2 was so shitty.
Back to the Future 3, though, they go to the Old West, so that's good.
That
is
good. And
but yeah,
Mary
this...
Steinbrenner, brought back by Step Brothers. Are you looking at your nipple?
No, I'm looking at the hair that's on my shirt. Anyways, nipple. This is the best time travel movie of all time.
We agree.
I think Ryan and I agree.
It's hard for us to agree.
Let's get into honorable mentions. What do you got?
How many do you have?
I have three.
Long list. You go first. I got a long
list. All right, I got Austin Powers 2, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Great, great. Not Goldmember?
No. They go, the first one, it's Austin is frozen and then unfrozen in this time. That's not on our...
He pretty much traveled to the future, but it wasn't time travel.
Yeah, that breaks our rules of time travel. This one, Dr. Evil goes back in time to steal Austin Powers' mojo. Austin Powers, if you listen to the Top 5 Dumb Comedies episode, one of my favorite.
And if Kevin says anything from Austin Powers, I laugh.
That's true. Number two is 12 Monkeys. Bruce Willis is sent back in time to uncover the cause of a plague disease that wipes out most of the human population and makes Earth almost uninhabitable. So basically for the purpose, so that people in the future can create a cure for that. And
very,
then go back in time. It's trippy, man.
It's
Terry
very
Gilliam.
Good. It is very trippy.
It's very Terry Gilliam.
Yes.
That's my second honorable mention. My third is Napoleon Dynamite, because he does buy the head thing that he thinks is going to make, you know, time travel happen. Yeah. And the second is because Uncle Rico is always in his mind traveling back in time and saying, we could have took state and I could throw a football over the mountains. That's my honorable mentions. Ryan, what's yours?
My first honorable mention has to go to Terminator 1 and 2.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't on my list. It was really ruined by number 4. I don't know if you guys have seen Terminator Salvation. Have you?
No.
There's a whole like, but there's a whole like John Connor meets Kyle Reese, and we're sending him, you know, or not. That's who. Oh, I haven't met him yet, but that's my father. But I'm older than him.
Yeah.
And then number one on their list, number two on the Skynet's list is John Connor. Number one is Kyle Reese. Then you just, and then this is when you get to the hazy, you know, why time travel won't work. It's like, so if they just go murder Kyle Reese, does, you know, John Connor just disappear right there? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, I know that's what time travel is, but it kind of didn't work for me. Another one that was eliminated by our rules, Pleasantville.
Yep, I had that on my honorable mentions, too, until I thought that's not actually time travel. It's
my honorable
going
mentions
going to an alternate
awesome.
Dimension, yeah.
Yeah, going back in time to a TV show doesn't.
It's matter. Good though. That's a great movie.
It's what I really enjoy about this movie is that it's quirky, funny for the first half, and then it gets really, really, really serious.
Yeah,
that's a big social commentary on racism and civil rights movement, and it really just turns tide out of nowhere. Another one is, I don't know what that is.
I hadn't thought about that. Good point.
It's a good point, man.
This one I want to talk about is every list I saw had Primer as a great movie.
I haven't seen it.
I can't. I've heard about it. I heard it's awesome. I heard that it takes, like, 7 viewings to even come close to comprehending
really?
It. Like, it's just really confusing. But I haven't seen it. So I can't put it on my list.
So
Back to the Future 3, it sucked, but it was better than number 2. I only got 2 more shout-outs, I'm sorry.
Can I go for it?
My 2 more honorable mentions are that Groundhog's Day doesn't count, because he's just reliving.
Agreed.
But if Groundhog's Day did count, it would be my number 1, 2, 3, 4, and like 4.5. That's my... That was really good timing. That's like the best comedy movie I've ever seen. It's Bill Murray.
Doesn't count, though.
I know it doesn't count. I'm just saying, if it was, my last shout out, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 3.
Yep, they
Turtles
do.
Turtles in Time.
They do go in the
Turtles
the video
in
game,
Time.
The Spawn, the video game. It's a great video game, by the way.
That's it. Let's go. Shout outs.
Shout outs. My shout out is.
I just took off my list.
My shout out is to our producer. She graciously produces the show every week, and we are actually going back to see her producing family.
The people that produce
it. Yeah. This weekend, we're going back to Florida, so if that gives you a little hint of who our producer is, if you didn't already know, you're an idiot. But yeah, so my shout out is to our lovely, lovely producer.
Very lovely. Good work. My shout out, I said it'd be random. Are you ready?
Yep.
I've just been thinking a lot about this person lately. And it's a guy. But not. Mind.
Makes Jake uncomfortable.
No.
Makes Jake really uncomfortable, though.
This guy should make Jake
don't
uncomfortable.
Don't look into Clive Owen's eyes.
Genius.
Okay. Say it. Say
his
it.
His first name is short for Patrick.
Short round.
Rick.
Rick. I was going to say Pat.
Is Rick the... Richard is Rick, right?
Yeah, definitely. Okay,
but why
so
not
Rick?
Patrick? There's Rick in it.
Yeah, okay, Rick. Agreed.
That was
we
really
could,
wrong
we could go by
me.
Ryan, Rick, and Kevin Rick.
Yeah, Kevin Rick.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, we're the Patricks over here.
That's right.
My Next. Shout goes to Rick Moranis. I miss that guy. He's retired since 95. Listen. He did... What did he did Ghostbusters 1, Ghostbusters 2.
Okay.
Little Shop of Horrors. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah.
Honey, I Blew Up the Kids. Honey, I Shrunk the Audience that just discontinued at Disneyland and Disney World. And he came out with the country album.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, the Agoraphobic Cowboy.
Are you serious?
This is how awesome he is. He came out with a country album.
Oh, my God.
A country album, and it got nominated for Best Comedy Album. For
really?
For the Grammys.
Unintentionally?
I don't know. I love you, That's Rick awesome. Moranis, That's and awesome. I'm putting you at 1B, right behind Cliff Curtis, is my favorite person
Whoa.
That's listening. 1B!
Whoa! That's heavy.
He hasn't made a movie
That's
since 1996.
Heavy.
Everyone right. said they would do Ghostbusters 3, and Rick Moranis says, nah, fuck it. I'm retired. He's sticking by his retirement guns.
You have to
Brett
go.
Favre.
You have to go, too. Because there's no B's when it comes to Cliff Curtis.
He's
no
number
B's.
Two.
Yeah, he's number two.
Cliff Curtis
no
is one.
No B's.
A, B, C, all the way to
A, B, C.
Z. But not P,
A, B,
because
C,
that's
you're
right.
D, E, F, you're alive. Then you're dead again.
It's a fake out.
Remember our Alphabet Killer episode? That was a great episode. All right. I guess that's it. So I hope you enjoyed it.
Rick Moranis, call me.
We're signing off. We're, I guess we're, I don't know, courting
we'll
Rick Moranis.
And we're gonna, you know, get a new pool. We'll figure
That's right.
it out.
Send us some, you know, some shit online. I know Maddie C already said that he wants to see best summer movies. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/criticaldrinking. Go to our Twitter page, twitter.com/criticaldrinking. Without the G.
Critical Drinking Podcast.blogspot.com.
That's right. And also, if you want to leave a voicemail, 509-43-DRINK. Call us, leave it, we'll put it on the air.
Was me finishing my last beer.
That's true. So if nothing else, we'll see you guys next week.
Nice.